publication in Düsseldorf, in Germany. And since 1984, he published a magazine 2000, which comes out in Germany and the Czech Republic, and also in English, in a circulation of 100,000 copies. His international bestseller, UFO, The Alien, The Cosmic Connection, and third, Beyond Roswell, and UFOs, A Secret Matter, published in 14 countries, with a circulation of more than 500,000 copies. Hesselman produced several award-winning video documentaries, such as UFOs, The Secret Evidence, UFOs and Area 51, Secrets of the Black Programs in the U.S., including X-Files, Germany, including X-Files in Germany, Mexico, and Japan. He is associate member of the prestigious Society for Scientific Exploration, the Explorer Society, and the Ancient Astronaut Society. Like no one else in this field, Hesselman investigated UFO incidents in 35 countries. Since 1993, he traveled more than 300,000 miles in search of the truth out there and was called the Indiana Jones of UFO research by the German magazine Amiga. He lectured on international conferences in 22 countries on all five continents, invited by Human Potential Foundation, UNC, the UN Conference, the International Humanities Society, and Ministry of Transport of the Republic of San Marino. And he has also lectured at more than 30 universities and in the United Nations. I am very proud to present Eitan Hesselman.
Introduction, I'm very happy, very glad, very honored to be in your beautiful city of Cosmo here in Norway. Can you hear me? I'm very glad and very honored to be in your beautiful city of Cosmo. Can you hear me now?
No.
No. Can you hear me, Major Tommy? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, my skin care and all that? Okay. Stand up this room and there's nothing I can do. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I was to start my presentation by giving you an overview over what UFOs are, what the main type of UFO, type of that. But an excellent presentation trained more by and my friend and actually my idol, Dr. Stephen Greer, about the political implications of the UFO phenomenon and about the approach to get them to move. But what I'll give you today as well as tomorrow is a different material than the idea of today. Because in 2 days we will see a lot of different material for these collects tomorrow. What I want to show you now and tomorrow is evidence from all over the world that indeed we are not alone. Here again, a picture is more than 1,000 words and a video is more than 1,000 pictures, so you will really see them with your own eyes. But I'm certainly not yet flying in the sky of Norway, but we can hopefully in the future at least here on the screen. So we start with an overview of the main type of craft you see in the UFO phenomenon besides the triangular craft, which are very prominent in this decade. And I want to show you question number one, please.
One witness looking to film a landed duck shaped craft near Carmen, Ontario, Canada. The small reconnaissance probes were photographed in the Mark and the U.S. from close range.
Okay, the first time is the big check.
Was shot in June 1973 during one of the first flights of the Concorde. As it is a small object, surrounds the supersonic plane and hovers for seconds above the stations. cigar-based motherships were seen in similar frequency.
The first time
the bomb was taken over Rhode Island in 1967.
Think we got it first.
This photo, taken over Texas in the same year, or Olega, Russia in 1978. These films were shot in 1980 over a pile in the Ruhr area of Germany. This official film of the Russian Space Agency was made in June of 1992 by a cosmonaut of the Mir space station.
The other cop was the south approaching the Mir.
An identical object was photographed in 1966 by West astronaut McDivitt aboard Gemini 4. Hundreds of witnesses saw this cigar-shaped craft in April 1990 over Krasnodar in Russia. This film was taken July 1995, Mexico, in the Mexican volcano.
You are close to the UFO phenomenon, and actually many countries are grateful. The most important opening act was the former power, the former Union. Now, after the breakdown of citizens, more and more general ranking officials of the former Soviet Union are willing to talk openly and in camera about their inside involvement into the UFO situation. One of the most outspoken one of them is General Gennady Shchetnikov, who was the commander of Soviet air defense in the Far East, but it's in the eastern part of Siberia. The air has been constant Vladivostok in the 1980s, and today is the commander of the Academy of Air Defense, the Russian air defense there. General Gennady Shchetnikov, in the sunset manual of the UN, investigated UFO sightings and landings in Siberia, including some of them in the Arctic region, in one small district, and with the close eyewitnesses, who saw a landing of a big gigantic craft, and he even found the landing map reported to my colleague in Russia, who interviewed him for 2,000 interactions for my company. He also admits that several times he ordered MiG-29 jet intellectuals after they located UFOs on the radar screen of the Soviet air defense. And in three or four occasions, he gave the jet intellectuals the order to open fire on these unknown intruders. And in every single case, the weapon malfunctioned. In one case, even the complete box electronics of the craft malfunction. To another context, General Pavel Popovich, who had a UFO sighting when he, as a part of the Soviet delegation, flew to Washington in 1978, he saw a triangular craft over the Atlantic. He spoke about this event on camera. And he became the chairman of the Russian Committee for the Investigation, Anomalous Phenomena, which cooperated with the Academy of Science in Moscow, and had many members in the board who were professors, members of the Academy of Sciences, including Professor Atasar, who is the deputy head of the Oceanographic Society of the Academy of Science. And General Popovich was able to get the 124 pages KGB UFO file from the KGB, from the Soviet intelligence. And in this 124 pages, which I got as a copy from Albert Popovich, and he published in Agatha's 2000 in German Czech, and this 124 pages were on tape, which had in June 1999, of a craft covering over a nuclear storage area of Kakhutsky Yar, the nuclear a testing ground north of the Caspian Sea for 3 hours. For 3 hours, it hovered over the nuclear vent storage area. And after the incident, it found out that the launch port of the weapon had changed. Actually, it took them 3 hours before they managed to get a MiG-29 to come from the next airport base and follow up the UFO and make a close look over 2 weeks later. and this is the other guy. 3 hours, it happened actually at midnight, and maybe the different kind of pilots didn't think too much work at some time. So, checking all the pilots, finding one not running into problems, and that's really the thing, right? But then at least 3 hours, okay. We have a lot of protocols from different Russian airports. So you have your own radar screen, in this case you can do your pilot. The pilot calls in the case you can do your pilot, just to communicate and go on and so forth. Another interview you are able to do this interview with Lieutenant General, Total General Alexeyev, who is the head of the Soviet space communication, and he talks about your own counters of the cosmonauts. Tomorrow, I will show you an interview with the customer Vladimir Kovalyanov, who was in 1981, about 36, and they had a UFO encounter. And he was in front of my friend, Joseph Bonsigani, in Italy, about his UFO encounter on board of Soviet Soyuz station. So we'll see now in the morning of the market event, which happened February, 1997, when this Italian research and contract piece also was invited by the General Secretary of the Academy of the Soviet Empire in Berg. And after a 1 hour conversation between him, the general, and the head of the counter-espionage to Europe, and General Shetnikov gave them some of the materials from the archives of the Soviet Academy of Medicine and Affairs, which I show you right now, the second two. I'll show you now, for example, from a totally different part of the Korea. And a remarkable event in November 1996, cameraman of Reuters, of the news agency Reuters, was able to film a UFO that's sitting in the pool, squeeze, and throw up. It happened after waves of UFO sightings over South Korea, especially over Seoul. And what we see now is the news broadcast about the general sighting of a picture taken and then filmed by the Reuters cameraman from the news in Korea. On December 3rd, 1996, just about 2 weeks after the event in Korea, we had one of the most impressive maneuvers of unknown time object in the Earth orbit, filmed documented by the astronauts of the American Space Shuttle mission. Next video, please. By the astronauts of the American Space Shuttle mission. And you quote the key theory around this is that pilot came to take next and they catch a bird range animal. And the rumor of the encounter of the three girls and went for a famous UFO navigator and lawyer, the most important lawyer in Virginia, Rudy Rajah Rodriguez, who immediately asked his police contact and verified a contact if they know anything about a strange creature captured in Virginia. And they knew about it. They knew about another creature captured in the morning. Actually, what happened is that these two creatures were brought to the hospital of Virginia. One of the guys, the second one here died, and on the latest was to the first military base in Tetra Solis, and later to Campo Grande, where they not only had a bigger military base, but also a very famous hospital. And the leading pathologist of Brazil, the same one who identified the remains of the Nazi concentration camp, Dr. Mengele, and took the autopsy on the one being. And we learned the hospital leader, the Brazilian army, was prepared for the event because they were informed Carora by the American, North American Air Defense and the U.S. Air Force, that they located the object as satellite, and maybe it was even shot down, there were rumors it was even shot down. They located it before, and they knew it would come down somewhere. And around 4 o'clock in the morning, a farming family, who received a lovely farming family, very simple people, lovely, wonderful, and woke up cars, one house, and that's how I say, which looks like bus without wheels. It's a gas-shaped craft, and with a kind of window platform on top, which for 45 minutes, very slowly, was flying over the area and smashed and burned. And we have eyewitnesses who say that within half an hour, the military was there and went into the forest and came out about an hour later, and we are talking about Bangladesh. Okay, they're not talking about the nice little Norwegian pine tree forest, and they're talking about the jungle. So after 1 hour they came out, this big pieces of metal loaded on trucks. And in the very moment he located these beings there, immediately within half an hour, the military was there and knew what was going on. There's a about it. Frank John Mack, that's the John Mack of the Harvard University, was one of the very first people who went and interviewed this three young lady, Kiria Katnelli, and Fatima, and he said that no way he's lying about it. He is a psychiatrist and student psychologist, and but no way they're lying about it. This was my impression too. Very straightforward, nice, honest, open-minded young lady. And this makes Virginia an even bigger case than Rockville, because they thought the situation was still going on. When Ubi Rajara Rodriguez started this investigation, and 2 days after the event, and being killed around the country, and he got a verification from people in the hospitals, but a part of the hospital was caught and off by the military, taken over by the military, and so on and so forth. So it's a very good, very well documented, very tough incident. And this December, there will be a big international UFO conference in Brazil, the capital of Brazil. There will be researchers, promised new evidence for the event in Brasilia, and the UFO researchers from all over has come together and set a new Brazilian society and to phone up for the UFO thing. It's such a big threat. If you go to Brazil, you will find most people living in UFO, like in Mexico, like in Ecuador, like in many South American countries, much better than in Norway, Germany, America, anywhere. These people see things with their own eyes, and I believe the UFO phenomenon is an interactive phenomenon, which means most people are open to it, they come closer. And that's why it's happening there. Frequency. The media of this is not covered what the media are. They wrote about it, they published about it, very openly, even the very bouncers, literally magazines like that had front page articles about the media. Okay, we continue with this, and I'll show you the front cover. The whole investigation. Still interviews with the teachers, the pastor, the parents, and 44 of the children. And all this one includes a ritual for the describing. We have eyewitnesses who saw UFOs over Zimbabwe the night before, even the area of the pool. We had one about witness for the landing. It was a very strange coincidence that the very day when it happened, teachers had their monthly teacher conference, all the teachers were in the headquarters room. Concurrent talking, there was not a single cigar. There was only a little tuck shop, a little street shop, which was facing the school and not the vent area on the other side of the school. And one of the kids was running and was the mother who was voluntarily serving the tuck shop and said, come, but they know all by it. And she said, put my back. She didn't want to believe it. She believed it was a plastic result because children wanted to lose time and get the kids out of the touch shop. But not one single adult. The reaction of children was generally rather positive. We had some children who were afraid. We had some children who had negative dreams or whatever, but these were minority. Actually, a bigger problem for the children later was that the parents didn't believe them. The one boy I mentioned who was with that dreading problem didn't get it because he was afraid of his dreams, but he got it because his parents believed he was a liar, and he never lied to the parents. But his parents were very traditional religious people, and they said, no, it can't be true. There's nothing like aliens, and that's not coming to your school. about bad and mad endings. So I've closed and gone for the first time in front of at least 60 books, 65 children, which are the ones they've gotten in the after them. And I interviewed 24 of them. This never happened before. There are good cases of local endings, 5 witnesses, 7 witnesses before, but never ever was good. And the interesting thing about it is they had extinction, not only of the Zimbabwean population, but nearly of the world population. Yes, Oriental, Syrian origin children, black children, white children, everything. Nearly every race of the world, and representatives of the young generation of them. So it all happened in a very tight and intelligent way, because the land on the other side of the fence. Nobody could run over there and get close to the craft and maybe get in danger. No, it happened beautifully staged on the other side of this fence area where the children were not allowed to go anyway. Very good setup. Why? Maybe they wanted to check how many countries we have, or the young generation of many countries we have, from the landing on a close encounter of the first time. Talking about close encounters of the first time, another remarkable thing in the 90s happened in March 1993 in the group of Habima in Israel. And what I show now are some images from the village of Habima in Israel. But we play this video now, Italian video, and to get an afterthought about what's going on with and the actually now in January was controlled by the media stand and set up and it was discredited unfortunately. And now people are people now are uncertainty because of the video stand of Facebook or the whole because of your whole phenomenon of the video. What happened is that some people found a little baby lizard and believed it might be an alien because they had the whole side in darkness and this baby lizard affair unfortunately made the headlines and there were some very uncertain of people who already offered $1 million to me and other people that offered $1 million okay. Anyway, first result of the scientific investigation and then I found that some people might be willing to run it. But they want to serve the money, then the investigation, and I was never doing it like this. Anyway, so very popular people mixed into this thing. Then they had this scan, but the scientific announced that in February UFOs would hover over Jerusalem and Tel Aviv and the east between the Arabs and the Jews in Israel, and of course this didn't happen. And so the phenomenon was visible by the media. Before last year, the media in Israel were extremely open-minded. And actually, even people from the religious side in Israel, rabbis, who said, we believe it is some good. These are angels, some might be fallen, some might be angels in harmony with God. But it's proving that the messianic age is approaching, and we observe the phenomenon of these events with great openness. And as I say, the media was extremely open, and we had a number of events, which physical events, that we never had before on the planet. And we never had it before on this planet. The physical evidence included silicon, which was found in crop circles and landing circles, which appeared after UFO landings, and footprints, In one incident, you will see the image of it in the film, and one evening in January 1995, Patrick Carpini, the security chief of the village of Isaac, visited a friend's house and suddenly he was shocked. And he believed maybe it was an explosive. And he said there was a lot of terrorist attacks from Hamas and all these kind of guys. So he immediately looked out of the window for him. Then he was 3 meters tall, some figure was to quote the little girl, kind of person, running over fields. And this being in a metal suit was running over the field in discipline and darkness. And
And he called the police, and the police said, oh, my mom has to. You don't have signs, and he said, and David is the liar. The police was going by him. And he said, yes, he has. I saw it. Now, there's some discussion. Finally, the police came and investigated, and they found footprints for 8.5 kilometers. 8.5 kilometers long thread of footprints. Some of them 30 meters away from each other. Some of them both 1.5 meters away. But the interesting thing, the being who left footprints was at least 500 kilograms heavy. This is a little bit more than me, and Henry put together. And Henry put the sun and you know. Okay, and may no problem. And a little bit maybe more. 500 kilograms, 1,000 pounds for the Americans, yes, at least. And my fellow researcher for me, that there is unleashed Ranger went after, and he tried to leave the footprint, no, it wasn't too dry. They are talking not about Norway in general, they are talking about Sweden in general, it was very dry. And he couldn't leave any footprint. And he made it 80 kilograms. 85. So, he had a trace 8.5 kilometers long. He had sightings, he had structures, he had materials, he had custom based materials on these subsurface or landing surfaces, I don't know how to call it. And now, the CD and the.
In Central Israel.
It is called a new definition of artificial evolution. And one of the most important points of it is that we have realized we are one mankind. We are children of the planet Earth. There's no real difference between Norwegians, Germans, Americans, and whoever, because we all have the same common origins. We have the same common ancestors. We have the same visions of the future, and we have the same experiences of the past. So, if we realize this, it will cause a lot of trouble and change. You can come to my book. It will cause a lot of trouble and change for both in power. Because nationalism is their gate, they want to say. Because beyond nationalism is the idea of defense of countries which bring so much money in the pockets of those who are in the weapon building industry. If you realize that all mankind, you don't need the weapons anymore. Indeed, we know then that only together we can take the great challenges on the threshold. On the threshold of the third millennium, we realize that indeed we can form a much better society on our planet together. We can solve the global problem much better together. We can overcome things like overpopulation, things like greenhouse gas, like the ocean lake problem, and so on and so far together. And we can make science there. That whole evolutionary we come from to find them out there to go on over than before and to meet our relatives who are already flying around us for thousands and thousands, if not millions of years. And we learn a lot. We learn a lot from this context. The communication, the communicational conversation, going to the tower. What you need is a dialogue with the universe. And the solution for the third millennium, which is approaching faster than anyone we can even imagine. I mean, 2 years only. I mean, then we enter the year 1000, 2 years and 2 months, and we enter the year 2000. I mean, this is the vision for the Salenium, a peaceful society on Earth, and a great challenge to be one in kind, and to become a member of the family of Space Veteran Planet, to join the club, to join the brotherhood, and to realize that our true hope is not only down here, but also out there. And we will find out things can't even dream of today. We only have to take this very single step. And what can cause a revolution like the Copernican revolution? What caused the Copernican revolution? Galileo Galilei said, look through my telescope. And the arrogant dialogues of ancient science and religion of that time that are not willing to look at the evidence. So what I tell you now, how we can start a revolution, is look through the telescope of Galileo Galilei. Look at the evidence being asked. But indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we are not alone. Thank you very much.